Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We have a frost advisory in effect until 9 a.m. Right now we're seeing some of the coldest temperatures we typically see this time of day, and some of those are down near freezing. I'll show you what it will feel like when you head out.
More security on campus at a downtown Raleigh middle school after a 15-year-old was shot near that campus. This comes as the city plans to address concerns about crime downtown.
And an investigation is underway in Durham after a body was found in a trash bin. Brett Neese is in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker with details on how that person was found. We have that story and so much more coming up for you on your Tuesday morning, your chilly Tuesday morning. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Great to have you along here. Yeah, certainly the last 3 days, I think we've gotten progressively colder in the mornings. Yeah. And now we come out with this frost advisory. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center.
Yeah, we're not likely to see a lot of frost right in town, but any rural areas, especially our southwestern and northern counties, easily seeing some frost in spots this morning. It's 32 in Roxborough, 32 in Siler City, but 40 right here in Durham and Raleigh, 32 in Lewisburg, it's 37 in South Hill, 40 in Rocky Mount and Wilson. But even so, if you're over here in parts of Edgecombe County or parts of Nash County that are rural, you're easily seeing some patchy frost. Same thing in Johnston County. Smithfield sitting at 34. So, you know, outlying areas seeing some frost. In Sanford, it's 31, 32 in Robbins, 35 in Southern Pines and in Rayford right now. Our 24-hour temperature change, we're actually pretty close to where we were yesterday. Bright skies there in Durham, 40 degrees. Again, our temperatures, you know, tend to be a little bit warmer in town than they do out in rural areas. And so that's keeping the frost away in spots. 73, the high this afternoon with lots of sunshine. Coming up, we're going to take a look at the tropics. We're going to talk about where Tammy is headed and what you need to know about it, Brian.
It is 8:02 right now, and all new, we have that crash at 440 and I-87 there, the ramp from 87 southbound to 440 westbound, and they have cleared almost all of that. There's one vehicle remaining there on the right shoulder, but no more flashing lights. We should start to see things gradually improving, and indeed, over the past couple of minutes, we're now down to an 8-minute delay overall on 87 southbound. Let's take a look at it on the map and show you specifically where you're going to run into the slow traffic. If you're coming in from Wendell on 87 southbound from 64 Business toward Wendell Falls Parkway, you're in good shape. It slows down around Smithfield Road. Then you start to see some improvement heading toward 540 before it slows down again around Hodge Road and New Hope Road. And once you get on to 440 westbound, you're going to run into some of the usual delays heading out toward Capitol Boulevard and beyond. Once you get to Six Forks Road, traffic seems to be flowing pretty well. New information as you head out of Apex back toward Cary, a report of a crash at 64, not too far from Lake Pine Drive. Not really seeing heavy delays there in front of the car dealership, but a little bit of a backup perhaps on that eastbound side of 64. Going to head up to North Raleigh for an update on Lewisburg Road with a report of a crash at Dancy Drive in the clearing stages. Still seeing some slowdowns on that southbound side from the Spring Forest Road intersection down toward New Hope Road, and then heading down toward Capitol Boulevard and toward the 440 interchange on southbound Capitol Boulevard. Pretty slow heading toward the Trawick Road intersection. Taking you to the west side of Raleigh and Cary, we have a crash on Evans Road at Northwest Maynard Road. That reportedly involves a motorcycle. And also hearing about a minor crash at Wade Avenue around St. Mary's Street inside the Beltline, with a little bit of a delay starting to show up on the outbound side of Wade Avenue heading away from Capitol Boulevard. Checking in on Durham this morning, we're seeing sort of the usual delays on 885, about a 5 to 10 minute backup on either side between I-40 and the 147 split. Elsewhere in the western part of the triangle, some slowdowns on the south side of Durham on 40 eastbound approaching 55. That's likely congestion and also a little bit of a sun glare delay this morning. And some slowdowns on 40 eastbound as you head away from Hillsborough toward Chapel Hill. And a reminder, if you're getting ready to get into the car, you can listen to our newscast continue at WRAL News Plus on the radio. 99.3 FM in Raleigh, 96.5 FM in Durham. We will let you know how traffic is shaping up.
All right. Thank you, Brian. One day after a shooting left a 15-year-old in critical condition, a safety committee will meet today to talk about efforts to make downtown Raleigh safer. The shooting happened near Moore Square Middle School, and WRAL's Kelsey Coffey is there live this morning. Kelsey, the school certainly stepping up security today.
Michelle, they do have more security this morning. I'm going to take us about the way so you can just take a look at the school right now. There's actually a sheriff's deputy vehicle that's between those two buildings that you see right now on your screen. And there was a deputy that was standing outside as students were coming in earlier this morning. A 15-year-old is still in critical condition after that shooting. Police arrested 22-year-old Stephen Stanley in connection to the shooting. He's charged with assault and being a felon with a firearm. Sky 5 flew over the scene as the school went under lockdown yesterday. WREL's data trackers investigated police reports within one block of Moore Square. They found crime has gone up 51% since last year. People who live nearby are noticing this trend.
Having a child myself, it feels very unsafe sometimes, you know, and to think about like, oh, now we have to be careful at 2:30. I mean, it's one thing to think about 10 o'clock in the evening or 11 o'clock, but 2:30 in the afternoon in broad daylight.
School officials here say that they will have counselors available for both students and staff today. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Raleigh.
All this comes at a time when today we'll get an update on efforts to keep people safe in downtown Raleigh. City staff is expected to share with City Council more information about its plans for safety improvements. This comes after the Downtown Raleigh Alliance and others shared their concerns last month. This includes problems with crime in the downtown Transit Center area and Glenwood South. Raleigh police are already planning to add more patrols to those areas.
A body found in a trash bin in Durham has police looking for answers. The discovery happened on Rosewood Street, which is just blocks away from NC Central University. Brett Neese breaks down what police are revealing about this death investigation.
Durham police so far not releasing a lot of details in this bizarre investigation. Take a look. This is video from the WRL breaking news tracker off of Rosewood Street, where police were called there around 6 p.m. yesterday. That's when they discovered that body in a trash bin. I'm asking the police, who is this person? How did they die? And then how did their body end up in that trash bin? They have yet to release any of that information at this point. That scene is just a block away from Alston Avenue, about a mile or so away from here at the Durham Police Department. I'm continuing to press investigators for all of those answers and all of those details in this case. As soon as I get an update, I'll pass it along. In Durham, Brett Neese, WRL News.
Now we have an update from the war in Israel. This morning, two hostages Hamas released arrived at a hospital in Tel Aviv. This is video of the moments they landed overnight. Hospital officials say the women are in okay condition. Two women, an 85-year-old and 79-year-old, were taken from their homes near the Gaza border with their husbands. Their husbands have not been released. This comes as the United Nations Security Council will meet today in New York on the situation in the Middle East. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken will be there. The United States has expressed increasing concern that escalating the war will spark a wider conflict in the region, including attacks on American troops.
Right now, Governor Cooper is visiting a local Durham elementary school. This is video of him arriving at Glen Elementary School, where he'll spend this morning serving students breakfast. Any minute, he's expected to make an announcement about school breakfast funding. The new state budget does include money to help more low-income kids eat for free. Some students meet federal guidelines for free lunches, but others only qualify for reduced-price meals. $6 million in this year's budget will cover the cost of meals for those students. We'll keep you updated on the governor's announcement.
This morning, construction begins on GO Triangle's new Raleigh Union Station bus facility. It'll be at the corner of West and Martin Street in Raleigh's Warehouse District. The project will connect forms of transportation from biking and walking to bus services and future bus rapid transit and rail projects. This rendering of what the facility will look like there, a private development called Union West, is also included in the project. It'll have apartments and retail space. Groundbreaking is this morning in about 2 hours at 10 a.m.
The Texas Rangers are going to the World Series. They pounded the Houston Astros in Game 7 of the American League Championship Series last night, 11-4, to clinch the AL pennant. It's the first time the Rangers have made the World Series since 2011. They'll face the winner of tonight's Game 7 between Philadelphia and Arizona. Game 1 of the World Series will be Friday night at 8 o'clock right here on Fox 50.
And an upset on Monday Night Football. This one ended late. Maybe you missed it. Minnesota Vikings handed the San Francisco 49ers their second straight loss and ended San Francisco's comeback attempt with this. Cameron Bynum, interception of Brock Purdy twice in the fourth quarter. It picked him off. And Minnesota comes away with a 22-17 win. The Vikings are 3-4 on the season. The 49ers dropped to 5-2.
Well, coming up this morning, we're learning more about the off-duty pilot charged with over 80 counts of attempted murder after trying to shut down plane engines in the middle of a flight. What neighbors are saying about the suspect.
And the popular dating app Tinder has a new feature. It allows your friends and family to choose your dates for you. We'll explain how it works next.
And the 7-day forecast, of course, cold this morning. But once we get past that, we are in for a warm up. We can see temperatures close to record highs over the weekend. I'll show you which day is more likely to hit the record coming up.
Thirteen is the time right now on your Tuesday morning. Look at the blue skies over North Hills. You're looking live right now from our WRL LiveCam network and watching WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Looks just lovely out there, but we know it's cold. That is for sure. Elizabeth Gardner from the WRL Severe Weather Center. No matter where you go on that dial.
Yeah, clear skies allowed our temperatures to drop really quickly overnight last night, and we're in the 30s in most places. We take a live look at Goldsboro, Apex, lots of sunshine, sunny skies here in Fayetteville at our newsroom in Chapel Hill there, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. Frost advisory is in effect until 9 a.m., so about 45 more minutes or so. We tend to see the coldest temperature of the day between 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning this time of year, so we'll gradually start to see temperatures warming up after that. As a matter of fact, started to warm up just a touch in the triangle where Durham and Raleigh are back up to around 40, Rocky Mounts at 40. We didn't have much of a chance of frost in the triangle area in town today, but we definitely have seen it in our rural areas. Right now it's 35 in Southern Pines, 32 in Roxborough, it's 42 in Fayetteville, 38 in Clinton. So definitely been a chilly start this morning, one of the coldest mornings that we've seen so far this fall season. High pressure remains with us, keeping things nice and dry and holding back some rain across parts of the Midwest. There's a stationary front that will remain there as this high is parked over us for the next few days, dumping a lot of heavy rain for them, 5 to 6 inches. There could be some flooding there, but they're also dealing with a drought situation, so they need some rain. You just don't want it all at one time, so they chew out flooding. We remain dry all the way through the weekend into early next week, maybe a few light showers over closer to the coast. Speaking of off the coast, we do have, of course, Hurricane Tammy right here. It has 75-mile-per-hour winds, moving northeast at 9 miles per hour. It may regenerate a bit as it continues to move northward, but it still looks like it's going to be a tropical storm as it moves across Bermuda late Saturday night. 50-mile-per-hour winds. Storm surge, some flooding definitely would be a big issue. Of course, at that point, at 2 a.m. Sunday, it seems to be pointed directly toward North Carolina. Here's a look at what the model plots are showing. A couple of them continue to bring it this way. A lot of them bring it back out into the Atlantic, but the hurricane center is, you know, pushing it toward the United States. But watch this. This is a look at, you know, probably what could be the worst case scenario. It follows along with the hurricane center's path, moving it over near Bermuda. But then as it moves past Bermuda, watch how the whole system just fizzles out down to just a few scattered showers by Monday at 5 p.m. That rain that's producing some potential flooding over the next few days back to our west across the Midwest gradually starts to pick up and slide our way. And that would also help to kick out any of that moisture that tries to move on shore. This is Wednesday at 5 a.m., and we do have some rain that's fairly close to us. That may have some impacts for your Halloween forecast. We're going to see a very warm weekend, but for Tuesday, temperatures will start to cool off a bit, and we have maybe a small chance for rain. Right now, it looks like we should be mostly dry, but of course, we'll be watching that very closely. Very important forecast. In the meantime, looking at some very warm temperatures near record highs for the weekend. Brian?
It is 8:16, and some new information here. It looks like that crash from the 87 southbound ramp onto 440 westbound has largely cleared. Still seeing some residual delays there. So we take a look at the live camera at 87 at Hodge Road. And then you see this vehicle over here on the ramp from 87 southbound to Hodge Road. That's an earlier situation, not directly affecting traffic. Just look out in case they get a tow truck out there in the next little while. Seeing a lot of improvement here with that new data coming in from our sensors. A 4-minute delay overall as you head in from Knightdale back toward Raleigh. And as as we take a look at those sensor readings, not really seeing any red anymore. It looks like a fairly smooth ride overall from the Wendell Falls Parkway area through 540, maybe a little bit more congestion around the Smithfield Road interchange, but then it clears up fairly quickly. You are running into the usual delays there on 440 westbound. Still watching the sensors between Cary and Apex on 64 with a crash reported. Right around the car dealerships out there around Lake Pine Drive, between Lake Pine Drive and the US 1 interchange. Some backup showing up in both directions of 64 here. Also, just in the past couple of minutes, getting reports of a minor crash on the northbound side of 147 right around Alston Avenue. Not seeing any big backups at this point, but I do want to remind you, speaking of Alston Avenue, they're going to be closing a section of it starting at 9 o'clock this morning through 4 o'clock this afternoon. This is part of that railroad bridge project there. It's going to be closed between 147 and Andrew Avenue. Use Fayetteville and Main Street as the detour around that. And DOT now is saying they're going to have this closed again tomorrow between 9 and 4.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Tuesday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. A lot of us waking up to those cold temperatures this morning. Some of us under that frost advisory. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner shows us where.
Yeah, the coldest morning that we've seen so far this fall season in some places. That frost advisory is still in effect for about another half an hour. It was not our farthest southern counties, say Fayetteville and Clinton, but most of us under that advisory. We take a live look at Apex and you can see beautiful blue sky that's going to allow our temperatures to warm up pretty quickly through the morning. We're still in the 30s in a lot of places. 35 in Southern Pines, 34 in Lewisburg, it's 36 in Tarboro, and 38 in Goldsboro still. Dog walking, yeah, probably involves a pretty hefty jacket this morning. But this afternoon, feeling good in the low 70s. Walking the dog right after work in the upper 60s, Brian.
827, getting some information that they may have closed the westbound side of Highway 64 in Cary as you head away from US 1 back toward McKinnon Drive. There's a report of a crash there at that intersection. And on our live sensor map, when we see that purple, that indicates that that section of the road may be closed. Certainly seeing some heavy delays in either case, whether it's open or not. Coming in from the US 1 interchange back toward Lake Pine Drive. Also some heavy eastbound delays this morning. If you're trying to get to 64 westbound, try to pick it up from Lake Pine Drive. You're in pretty good shape heading from there out toward Laura Duncan Road.
Thank you, Brian. There will be extra security and law enforcement at Moore Square Middle School today after a 15-year-old was shot near the school on Monday. 22-year-old Stephen Stanley will appear in court today. The 15-year-old is in the hospital in critical condition. Next on Fox 50, how Raleigh is supporting growth on the campuses of Shaw and St. Augustine's. And next on Today, Jacob Elordi is live in studio to talk all things Elvis.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Still under that frost advisory, just for a little while longer. Temperatures are still in the 30s across a lot of the viewing area. I'll show you where you're most likely to see some frost if you're about to head out the door.
Moore Square Magnet Middle has extra security on campus as students are arriving to the school this morning after a teen was shot near the school yesterday. Just ahead, more on how crime is spiking in the area.
Police in Durham are working to figure out how a person died and then their body ends up in a trash bin. I'm Brett Neeson, the WRAL Breaking News Tracker, with what investigators are revealing so far.
And you could soon get your flu vaccine right in the comfort of your own home. What you need to know about the nasal spray being reviewed by the FDA. Well, thank you for joining us right now. 8:31 is the time. Tuesday morning. It's a chilly one out there. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. I need the sleeves today, I think. Yeah. Need the jacket, too. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner. We're under that frost advisory for about another 30 minutes, it looks like.
And it's still chilly out there. Some of the coolest air that we've seen so far this fall season. But, of course, we'll have plenty more of this to come, that's for sure. Let's jump on out there and take a look at some of the temperatures. Right now, it's still 32 in Roxborough, 33 in Siler City. The coldest air that we've seen this morning has been down here in our southwestern counties or up near the Virginia line. Even spots where it's above freezing, like Lewisburg at 34, outlying areas easily seeing some frost this morning. Had some reports of frost up near the Virginia line, up around Warrenton. We take take a look down south, 32 still in Sanford, 33 in Robbins, 35 in Southern Pines. But Smithfield sitting at 36, you know, easily outlying areas, some rural areas of Johnston County likely seeing some frost this morning. Our temperatures are 2 to 3, maybe 4 or 5 degrees cooler than they were this time yesterday. Looking at 40 here in Durham, downtown Raleigh, not seeing any frost, just didn't get quite cold enough for that. But temperatures warm up nicely this afternoon. We'll see highs in the low 70s. Coming up, it looks like we could be close to record highs for at least one day over the weekend. I'll show it to you. Coming up, Brian.
It is 8:32 right now, and we're tracking a crash in Cary. This is on 64 right around McKinnon Drive, up by the car dealerships there between US 1 and Lake Pine Drive. Getting some indications that maybe that westbound side of 64 is blocked right now as they work to get this cleared. Certainly seeing some delays on the eastbound side of 64. If you're trying to get from US 1 back toward 64 westbound in Apex, you might consider taking Cary Parkway out to Lake Pine Drive and then picking it up from there on the other side of that crash. Elsewhere around the triangle, we're watching a few minor crashes this morning. Still seeing some lingering delays on 540 westbound from the Old Buffalo Road area out toward Capitol Boulevard. Also 440 westbound, still pretty slow from 87 to Capitol Boulevard. In Durham, some backup showing up on the south side of Durham there on 40 eastbound between 15501 out toward the Highway 55 interchange. We're now measuring a delay of about 5 minutes. A lot of that due to some sun glare delays, but also just some of the usual congestion, especially between 751 out toward 55.
Thanks, Brian. One day after a shooting left a 15-year-old in critical condition, a safety committee is meeting today to talk about efforts to make downtown Raleigh safer. The shooting happened near Moore Square Middle School. WRL's Kelsey Coffey tells us the school is stepping up security today.
Today, there's extra security outside of Moore Square Magnet Middle School in light of what happened yesterday. A 15-year-old is still in critical condition today after that shooting. Police arrested 22-year-old Stephen Stanley in connection to the incident. He's charged with assault and being a felon with a firearm. Sky 5 flew over the scene as the school went under lockdown yesterday. WRAL's data trackers investigated police reports within one block of Moore Square. They found crime has gone up 51% since last year. People who live nearby are noticing the trend.
It's unfortunate that this happened, but I've seen a whole lot go on here. I've lived here, like I said, over 10 years. And I've seen fights and car wrecks and it's the first shooting. But I think there was a stabbing one time.
School officials here say they will have counselors available for both students and staff today. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Raleigh.
And today we'll get an update on efforts to keep you safe in downtown Raleigh. City staff are expected to share more information about plans for safety improvements with City Council. This all comes after the Downtown Raleigh Alliance and the others shared their concerns last month. This includes problems with crime in the downtown transit center and Glenwood South. Raleigh police are already planning to add more patrols to those areas.
A body found in a trash bin in Durham has police looking for answers. The discovery happened on Rosewood Street, just a few blocks away from NC Central University. Brett Neese breaks down what police are revealing about this death investigation.
Durham police so far not releasing a lot of details in this bizarre investigation. Take a look. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker off of Rosewood Street, where police were called there around 6 p.m. yesterday. That's when they discovered that body in a trash bin. I'm asking the police, who is this person? How did they die? And then how did their body end up in that trash bin? They have yet to release any of that information at this point. That scene is just a block away from Alston Avenue, about a mile or so away from here at the Durham Police Department. I'm continuing to press investigators for all of those answers and all of those details in this case. As soon as I get an update, I'll pass it along. In Durham, Brittany, WRL News.
And now to an update from the war in Israel. This morning, the two hostages Hamas released arrived at a hospital in Tel Aviv. This is video of the moments they landed overnight. Hospital officials say the women are in okay condition. The two women, an 85-year-old and a 79-year-old, were taken from their homes near the Gaza border with their husbands. Their husbands were not released.
And Michelle, here in the WREL Live Center, we're hearing from one of those women right now. This is 85-year-old Yocheved Lipchitz. She was one of the women released by Hamas. She's a grandmother. You can see the distress and anguish that she's been through with the help of her daughter. She talked about how Hamas burst into the kibbutz, kidnapped her husband, another couple. She described being hit repeatedly as she was taken away on a motorbike to what she describes as a set of tunnels. Take a listen.
There they walked for a few kilometers on the wet ground. There are a huge network of tunnels underneath. It looks like a spider web.
Another 79-year-old woman was released by Hamas as well, but the husbands of both of these women still remain in captivity. We'll stay on top of this developing story. Look for new reporting in our new news on WREL.
Thanks for that update, Ken. It is another day without a Speaker of the House on Capitol Hill, where you're looking live right now. This morning, we're expecting a vote on who House Republicans want to select as their new Speaker designate. They have to choose from 8 candidates this time, meaning the vote will likely take hours. Last night, Republicans held a candidate forum where each made a pitch to become the new speaker. That forum and this morning's votes are all happening behind closed doors. Governor Roy Cooper visited Glenn Elementary School to learn how an innovative breakfast program is addressing child hunger. He visited a few classrooms, handed out some bagged breakfasts to students, and they walked into their classrooms and saw him. And Glenn Elementary is one of the dozens across Durham that has served breakfast inside the classroom instead of the cafeteria since COVID-19. And Director of Child Nutrition Services says the initiative has increased breakfast participation by almost 20% and instructional time by 30 minutes a day. The state is providing almost $1.5 million distributed through competitive grants to each school district to help supplement what they're doing, hoping to get more school systems involved in this program statewide. Today, we're expecting to learn more about the future of Raleigh's HBCUs. The city is looking at ways to partner with the schools to support growth on the campuses of Shaw and St. Augustine's. The goal is to help support their transformations into top-tier career and research-focused institutions. This follows a similar plan in place in Charlotte with Johnson C. Smith University. An update is expected during today's meeting of the City Council's Economic Development and Innovation Committee. One of former President Donald Trump's once closest allies is set to testify against him today. Michael Cohen, a longtime lawyer of Donald Trump's, is expected to face his old boss in a New York courtroom. Cohen will deliver testimony as part of the New York Attorney General's civil fraud case against Trump. Cohen once said he would take a bullet for Trump, but has since called him a cheat, bully, and con man.
You may be able to take your flu vaccine at home next year. The FDA is reviewing an application for the nasal spray flu vaccine FluMist. The vaccine, which is the only nasal spray option against flu, has been on the market in the U.S. since 2003. Drug maker AstraZeneca asked the FDA to allow adults ages 18 to 49 to be able to give themselves the vaccine or give it to children as young as 2 years old. If approved, FluMist would be the first flu vaccine cleared for self-administration.
20 minutes before 9, a multi-state manhunt is underway for the person suspected of shooting and killing a Maryland judge outside his home. New evidence police have found and where they believe that shooter may have gone.
And a family in Milwaukee finds a rare piece of comic history in their late father's collection. We'll tell you what makes this comic so special and how much it could sell for.
And we'll give you this live look straight down Salem Street in Apex. Be sure to grab a jacket this morning. It is cold out there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner will tell us when we will see those temperatures rise, though.
Welcome back, A44, on your Tuesday morning. Beautiful blue skies over Pinehurst. It sure is chilly out there. Some of us under that frost advisory for the next 15 minutes at least, but you would never know it because, look, there's golfers out there. Nothing can stop them. Jeff Hogan would tell you that. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner shows us where exactly that frost advisory is.
You know, probably some of those golfers are out there in their shorts and T-shirts, you know, knowing folks down in Pinehurst. That was one of the coldest spots this morning, though. Our south Western counties and our northwestern counties, really the kind of the western part of the viewing area. Let's take a look, though, where we are. The advisory only lasts a little while longer. This is another thing that we saw this morning. There was not fog really anywhere that I could find except for Lake Gaston. I looked at the visibility and it was all clear. It looked like conditions could be right for some fog this morning, but we didn't see much of it develop. But look at that. You know, Halloween is just a week from today. It looks spooky there, doesn't it? 40 degrees officially right around the Triangle area, so a little bit too warm for fog. We do have a perfectly clear visibility across the bulk of the viewing area, but it's still cold in Roxborough. 32, it's 35 in Siler City, 40 in Durham and Raleigh, as well as Goldsboro, Wilson, and Rocky Mount, 36 Lewisburg. Certainly areas that were not right in town had the better chance of seeing some Apache frost this morning, and I know there was some out there. I heard from some viewers that they saw a little bit out there. Sanford's still sitting at 33, 35 in Southern Pines and Robbins, so we're starting to see those temperatures climbing just a little bit. Right now we're anywhere from about the same to 5 degrees cooler than we were this time yesterday. So some folks, if you're about to head out the door and you happen to be parked in the shade, could be still a quick scrape in just a few places, but that sunshine's going to take care of it. Here's what happened, why our temperatures got so cold. Of course, it was a pretty day yesterday. All that sun's energy went to warming up the surface of the earth. But as soon as the sun sets, all of that energy gets released back into the atmosphere. If there's some cloud cover, it will keep the temperatures a little bit warmer. The warm air will bounce up against the clouds and keep things warmer. But on a clear night like last night, that's not what happens. And our temperatures can really drop quickly. It'll be another cool night for tonight, but it'll be significantly warmer than what we saw this morning. This afternoon, 73 in Raleigh and Durham, 74 in Fayetteville. This is a look at our temperatures for tonight into tomorrow morning. So this time tomorrow, temperatures will be mostly in the low to mid 40s, 40 Siler City, 45 Raleigh, 43 in Lewisburg. We head down to the south. Similar situation, Smithfield at 45, 44 Southern Pines, 47 in Fayetteville. So it'll be chilly, but we won't be looking at any frost. And from then on, we see a big warm up. Overnight lows will be in the 50s. Our highs climb into the 80s, 80 on Thursday. Our normal high is 71. We could even see some records. We're going to be close to it Saturday with a high of 85. The record's 86. But on Sunday, our forecast is 84 and the record's 83. So Sunday, we could be seeing record highs. It looks like that will change as we get into early next week. As a matter of fact, tomorrow we add Tuesday, which is Halloween, to our 7-day forecast. It looks like temperatures will be a little cooler. Right now, it looks like it should be dry.
Thanks, Elizabeth. This morning, police in Maryland are still looking for the person suspected of shooting and killing a judge at his home last week. Police have found Pedro Argote's car, but they haven't found him. 49-year-old suspected of shooting and killing Judge Andrew Wilkinson in his own driveway Thursday. The day of the murder, Wilkinson ruled during a divorce that Argote's ex-wife, would get sole custody of the couple's four children. Now the U.S. Marshals Service is offering a $10,000 reward for any information leading to his arrest.
Authorities say a so-called super fog is to blame for a massive crash that left at least 7 people dead. More than 150 cars and trucks were involved in the crash yesterday. This happened just outside New Orleans. At least 2 18-wheelers burst into flames. The crash even forced one car over the railing and into the water. Super fog is a description for a thick fog that develops in damp, smoky conditions that can reduce visibility to under 10 feet. Authorities say nearby wildfires contributed to those conditions.
The Marine Corps is investigating a TikTok video where a man says there's a body buried at Camp Lejeune.
There's a freaking right turn. You take a left turn, and there's like open LZ.
Yeah, in the video, a man calls the victim a biker dude who was killed after a fight in Sneed's Ferry. He says he drove two other men to the spot where the body was buried. The Marine Corps sent us a statement reading in part, U.S. Marine Corps Training and Education Command is aware of the content published on social media. There will be an investigation into the matter in cooperation with appropriate commands and organizations.
A former National Security Agency worker pleaded guilty to trying to send classified documents to Russia. Jerry Dahlke was accused of sending the information to an undercover FBI agent for $85,000. He thought the agent was with Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service. Dahlke initially pleaded not guilty. Under the plea deal, federal prosecutors agreed not to ask for more than 22 years in prison. The judge will make the final decision during his sentencing in April.
People in the town of Nashville have a lot of questions after the director of human resources was fired and the police chief remained suspended indefinitely. WREL has learned the town's HR director, Matt Joyner, was fired Friday. This comes 3 weeks after he and police chief J.T. Winstead were both suspended with pay. Town leaders confirmed an investigation is underway, but have not said what accusations either man is facing. And that has people who live in the town wondering what's being hidden from them.
Not entirely surprised that they can't talk about it, but at the same time, it still makes me wonder, you know, what this will do to the neighborhood.
Joyner says he plans to appeal his firing and is looking to hire an attorney. Winstead declined to speak with WREL about his suspension.
The brand new WREL documentary Ghosts in the Stadium reveals the shocking history tied to the sites of some of our iconic football stadiums. WREL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance and WREL sports anchor Chris Lee take a look at the stadium's links to the history of race relations in the United States. You can watch Ghosts in the Stadium tomorrow night at 7:30 on WREL or WREL.com.
A major note of appreciation this morning for the members of the Durham Fire Department who helped to rescue a dog. This dog was stranded nearly 8 feet down in a confined space under a porch. She just couldn't get herself free. So the Durham firefighters and animal control worked together to rescue the dog. It took about 30 minutes, but she is safe and sound right now.
Oh, that's good to see. Well, this is good to see, too. There was a special delivery at the Indianapolis Colts game on Sunday. Tylan Jones was at the game between the Colts and the Cleveland Browns, and she went to watch her cousin, NFL wide receiver David Bell, who plays for the Browns. The delivery came when Jones went into labor at the game inside the stadium. Medics from IU Health helped deliver the baby at Lucas Oil Stadium. This is Jones's third child. She says she's thankful for the medics and is just so overwhelmed about everything.
I had a talk with her and I told her she could not come on this day. I'm so in shock. Like, everybody comes in like, you had a crazy day yesterday. And I'm like, yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, mom said, don't come today. The baby said, Mom, I'm coming today and nothing can stop me. Joan says she and her daughter, Kemri, are doing well. She says her family got two wins on Sunday, the birth of Kemri, and the Browns beat the Colts 39-38. I mean, how adorable. She went into labor as she was walking into the stadium. They ushered her right up to the medical center, and there you go. I mean, baby, inside a football stadium.
Yeah, well, that little girl knew it was going to be a great game, right down yeah. to the wire. I mean, exactly. 39-38, she wanted to see it.
Oh, she's so cute, too. Congratulations.
Nice. Happy ending. Jay-Z says, if someone offers you the choice between $500,000 or dinner with him, you should take the money. It's been a long-standing hypothetical debate on the internet. In an interview, he said, you can get all you could get from dinner with him through listening to his music. He calls his music the blueprint of his life. So he says, take the money and run.
Listen to Jay-Z. He's a smart mm-hmm. man. All right, Spidey fans, this one is for you. A rare comic book titled Amazing Fantasy is up for sale. The couple who owns the Collector's Edge Comics in Milwaukee now has a copy of the rare magazine where Spider-Man made his first appearance. The couple came across the stash of comics after the death of a parent.
Her father's collection, and they wanted to just make sure they weren't taken advantage of.
The Overstreet Comic Book Price Guidebook says the copy is valued at $18,000. Currently, there are nearly 4,000 graded copies of the edition. Wow. All right, before we head to break, here are your winning lottery numbers, and we'll get another check on weather and traffic next.